Good morning, everyone. Braving the cold. How's it going? Great. Oh, well done. I'm pleased you're good. Well, we're continuing on our theme and series, Growing, A Year to Grow. And today I want to talk about growing in faith, growing in your personal faith. Faith and our faith in Jesus and our faith in God through Jesus is the foundation of our spiritual growth. Everything that God gives to us and everything that Christ has died to give to us and everything that the Father has for us comes to us, we receive by faith. Faith is the interface in which we develop and grow and know our relationship with God and engage with Him. It says in the scriptures, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the equivalent of trust in a human relationship. If you're going to have a meaningful relationship with somebody, where you open up your heart and your life, where there is a deeper openness to be known really for who you are and you disclose yourself to them, if you're going to have a deep relationship with somebody where you are going to freely and without fear give and receive from each other, trust is the foundation stone, isn't it? And faith is the equivalent of trust in our engagement, in our interface with God. Faith is like the terms and conditions of a contract that you would have in any other human relationship. So supposing you wanted to buy a house and a solicitor drew up a contract and you agreed to make a purchase of this house. I will purchase this house and my part is that you hand over the keys on such and such a date and your part is that you give me the money I'm asking for. And both parties sign. And one will deliver their side, the money, and the other side will deliver their side, the keys, and be out of the house by the certain date so the family can move in. Yeah? The condition of the contract, the new covenant, which is a contract between us and God, our side of the bargain, is faith. We exercise faith in Jesus, faith in what He has done for us, faith in His death on the cross and His resurrection, faith in Him, and all that God died to give us and Christ died to give us on the cross becomes available to us. The first example was that was the forefather of our faith, Abraham. Abraham was made righteous and received all the blessings of God throughout all the generations. It says, I will, even right now you have no child, Abraham, I am going to bless you and I'm going to give you a son. And out of that son, your offspring shall be as numerous as the stars and as numerous as the grains of sand on the seashore. And I will make your name great and I will bless you and your family. And all of that came to Abraham, not because he was any more spiritual than anybody else, not that he was any more talented than anybody else, but it says he was blessed and made righteous, and the promise of God became good for him because he believed. It says, by faith, Abraham was made right with God. And then it says in the book of Galatians, all the blessings of God, which have been given to Abraham, are now given to us through our faith in Christ Jesus. So do you see that our faith is founded on faith? And it talks about in the book of Romans, faith from first to the last. We start by faith, we journey by faith, and we finish by faith. And so here we are, as we want to begin our journey this year in growing in God. If you want to grow in God, if you want to know Him, and walk in all of the purposes that he has for you and take hold of everything that he wants for you, we have to learn to grow in faith. We have to know how to receive faith, maintain faith, and grow in faith. We must. You see, we can give ourselves to developing a skill and a talent and more knowledge, thinking that that alone will cause us to grow. There is benefit in that. But everything comes to us through this faith that God has deposited within us. In fact, James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will pour out every ounce of wisdom that that person needs for their life. But when he asks, let him ask in faith, believing that God will give him. For he who doubts will not receive anything from God. You see, wisdom comes to you by God. And in Proverbs it says, search out wisdom, it's more valuable than gold and silver and treasure. By wisdom, a house is built, and by knowledge, it's filled with beautiful things. That your house, your life is like a house, and it is built strong and proud and tall and filled with all the richness. And I'm not talking about material richness, but the riches of life. And it comes through our faith, not just through our talent or our self-effort. Peace comes through faith. It says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Why? So that we can live in peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and mind. Well, that's founded on faith. Peace and wisdom, the anointing of God to serve him in power is by faith, mercy, forgiveness, a free conscience, freedom from guilt and regret. How do you get that? Time doesn't heal it. Time is not a healer. It comes by faith. We have our hearts and minds cleansed so we may have a clear conscience by faith in what Jesus has done. Or we receive the Holy Spirit and his power in our lives by faith. Salvation by faith, it goes on and on and on and on and on. So it's important to know how we receive it, exercise it, preserve faith and grow in faith. And there's so many passages in the Bible and in the Gospels where Jesus speaks about his disciples. We could be here all morning reading them. But I'm going to focus on one. And here it is. Jesus calms the storm. And in this passage of Scripture, we see some key teachings and principles of how faith operates. And we have to remind ourselves this important truth, that Jesus didn't just spend 3 years teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God or how to live a good life. We discover through his teachings and his miracles and the lessons that he learned, he spent 3 years teaching his disciples how to live a life of faith in the light of everything that he taught. And here is a typical example. Jesus never did anything by accident. So when he engaged his disciples in this boat ride, he knew exactly what was going to happen and what he was doing. That day, when the evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. A squall is a very sudden and powerful and ferocious storm that comes up real quick. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This was not about getting to the other side. This was a lesson on the go, on the job, developing faith in his disciples for all that he had for them. So Hugh said, the first thing, first foundation of faith, Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." Faith starts when we hear what Jesus has said to us and take him at his word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. How do I get faith? Where does it start and how does it grow? It's not mind power. It's not willpower. It's not waking up in the morning and giving yourself a good talking to. You must have more faith. You must have more faith. That is like pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. It doesn't work like that. Faith is a deposit that we receive into our hearts. And it comes from God. So, and this is the way God has made it work. It's very simple. He speaks to us. We receive what he says. We catch it. Next slide. We catch it. It's like Jesus throws us a ball and it's his word. Let's go to the other side. Well, what is significant about let's go to the other side? If Jesus has said, let's go to the other side they will go. They will get there. They will make it. Just like Robert shared in the worship this morning, God is steadfast. He is sure. He is immovable. His word is immovable. His word is true. He is reliable. If he says it, you can trust him. It's going to happen. If he says, go, I'm going with you. They are not going to sink and drown. Right? Let us go to the other side. Woohoo! We're going to the other side. Jesus has said we're going to the other side. We're going to get to the other side. I don't know what's on the other side, but to the other side we will go and we will get there. And he throws out this ball. And it is for the disciples and for us, when God speaks to us, to reach out and take it. Abraham did this. Abraham, you're barren. Your wife is barren. There's not a chance in a million years of you having a baby. It's over. But I am going to miraculously give you a son. And Abraham reached out and took it. It says he believed God. Whew, mine. That's where faith starts. God can't do that bit for you. He gives you the promise and the power of his word. Our bit is reach out, take it, make it mine. That's where faith starts. Faith comes by hearing. It says in the Old Testament when the Israelites, the first generation of Israelites, had gone through the desert and they were only 11 days' walk from the promised land. And they never actually went into the promised land. And it says this in the book of Hebrews. They did not enter God's land that he had promised to them. Why? Because they did not mingle his word with faith. God said, I will give it to you. But they would not take it as their own. Second generation did. I'll take it as my own. We take the word of God generally. There is this wonderful gift called the Bible. We read it, and in we read it, we read about the goodness of God and the ways of God and the many, 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 many promises of God. And we take it for our own. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In everything you do, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your pathway. That I believe. That's what I live. That's what I do. I've taken it by faith since I was a new Christian. I've chosen to trust God, and in every circumstance and challenge, I acknowledge him. Lord, I need you in this, and I need your wisdom, and I need your guidance. I don't know what to do, and I trust you, and I'm not just going to rely on what I've learned and what I know. I'm going to trust in your wisdom. I'm going to trust in your way. I'm going to trust you, and do you know what? He guides my pathway. Oh, here's another one. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. How much money you're going to have, and how you're going to pay your mortgage or your bills. Don't worry about it. Today and tomorrow has enough things for you to worry about. Don't worry about that. Why? Because you have a Father in heaven who loves you. And he is so concerned about the sparrows that he feeds them daily. How much more does your Father who feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies on the pond that not even Solomon with all his designer clothes couldn't compare with it. How much more will he clothe and feed you? Only you do this one thing. Put the kingdom of God first. His will, his way, his righteousness. You seek the will and the ways of God first, and all these things, everything you need for the purposes and the plans of God in your life will be provided. Can you reach out and take that and live by it? Because if you do, you won't have to worry. I've been living like that for 30-odd years. I'm amazed how God provides. You don't need to worry. Reach out, take it. You see, so there's the general will of God. But then there's the specific will of God in a given moment in time, his word to you, which is like the voice of his Spirit, where he might speak to you through the scriptures or through a sermon or through a dream or through a prophecy or in your own heart and mind. And he might speak to you specifically, and as you reach out and take it and know that word and submit to your life or obey it, you find that God brings something good into your life and you can trust him and you grow. But in order for that to do that, we have to know this. We have to do something by faith. We have to believe in his goodness. If we don't believe that God is good, we won't be able to take it. Because we're questioning, does he really know what he's doing? Does he really have his interests in mind? My best interests in his heart? If I do this thing that God's asked me to do, is it really the very best? Can I believe his goodness? I have to believe that God is good. He says in his word, he's good. We reach it. I take by faith, you're good. I remember when we moved from Hereford to Swansea. And in Hereford, we were in a church. It's a little bit like this. It was smaller, but it was a bit like this. It was a modern, charismatic church, great worship, brilliant. So God called us to move to Swansea. And I had an interview to preach and potentially go to this particular church that I shan't mention, in Swansea town. And as I went, it was had better days. There was about 12 mature older people, much older people, much maturer. They didn't have a band like we had. They had an organ and a pianist. They sang hymns that you probably sang around the 1930s or 50s. They preached from the Bible where it was these and thous, and verily, verily, I saith unto thee. The music and the worship, I have to be honest, it was more like going to a funeral service than a joyful service at celebrated that Jesus was alive. It was phenomenally old-fashioned and religious in those days, where it was frowned upon to go to the cinema, because if you went to the cinema, it would be like the place where the people who didn't know Jesus and the world took their entertainment from. Shouldn't do that. To have lights in the church was considered to be worldly. To have drums in the church was, well, they were considered to be the devil's bongos. I'm not joking. The people were lovely, but it was such an extreme expression of church from what I'd been used to. But the very first morning I went there, and I was in at the back, going through the service, waiting to preach, to see whether they liked me and wanted me, I had this terrible, terrible feeling that I, from the Lord, that God wanted me to come to this church. It's not the type of church I would build. It's not my fit. But every service, and I went to a number of services over the weeks as a testing process for them and for us. But every time I went, it just grew and grew that God wanted me here. Let me tell you this, that took a lot of faith. And by faith, I went into a situation that was just a million miles from my where I was at. And it was a dying church. Within a few weeks and months, 15 people came to Christ. Robert and Tracy joined the church. Zeno was a part of that church. Woohoo! Tim and Nikki, who became founder members of this church, became part of the church. And suddenly, within a few months, it grew to about 70 or 80 people. We'd had loads of Christians. And from that came the foundation church pioneering group that's actually established this church. This church wouldn't have been established unless I went to that church. By faith, I had to believe that God knew what he was doing. On the outside, it seemed, you've got to be serious. But he knew what I didn't know. His ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts, and he's much wiser than I am, and he sees the future. And by faith, we have to take hold of and believe that God is good and he knows what he's doing. Own it, hold on to it, act on it, rely on it. Faith grows as we hold on to this ball of faith in adversity. So the disciples went through the storm and Jesus said, go to the other side. They started off merrily, merrily, row, row, row the boat gently down the stream. They're all happy, having a wonderful time. They're experienced sailors, nothing to worry about. Then suddenly an adverse circumstance came along and they dropped the ball. They forgot that Jesus says, we'll go to the other side, so we will get there. They dropped the ball and they focused on the storm, the waves, the threat. It was going wrong. They're beginning to water, getting into the boat. It was beginning to sink. They absolutely dropped the ball. And this will happen in our journey with Christ. A storm will come along and that storm wants to rip faith out of our hearts. And sometimes it's the storm of circumstance. Oh, it's all circumstantially going wrong. Sometimes it's the thought of the storm of anxious thoughts, of worry and fear and anxiety. And quick behind that follow from our thoughts, emotions and distressful feelings that can cause us to be feeling like we're tossed on a wave and we're out of control. And it's in those circumstances we have to do what Jesus did, hold on to faith. He was asleep. He was sleeping like a baby. He was at peace because he wasn't going to allow anything to rip the faith out of him. And yet the disciples were totally the opposite. Circumstances, anxious thoughts, and emotions will challenge your faith. But we have to learn to hold on to the ball as we journey from one side to the other. And this is the way our faith is grown and tested. Count it all joy, it says in James, when you go through various trials, because it is the testing of your faith. It refines it and matures it like a precious metal being refined in fire, so all of the dross and the inferior material gets burnt out, that your faith may be mature. Woohoo! And that you would not lack anything. You would come into everything that God has for you. Let me just tell you this straight now. On this earth, the pathway for maturing faith is adversity. And if you want to grow in God and receive all that he has for you through a growing in faith, you receive his word and it will be tested and you will go through adversity. It is the way it is refined and matured. That's it. And we can either stay like babies because we don't want the adversity, or we can grow up and we can say, take me through it. We hold on to faith. We come through the other side and our faith is stronger. And then giants and waves and storms and challenges, when they come to us next time, we have been there. I have bought this T-shirt and it does not faze us, but we stand strong. It's the way we grow. And if I had time, I'd tell you a great story, but I don't, for the sake of time. Sometimes that adversity can be the disapproval of others when you are on your faith journey. Jesus had a lot of that. The disciples had a lot of that. We get tested in many areas of our life: circumstance, thought, emotions, and others. And as we journey through them all, holding onto faith, submitting to what God has said, not letting go, we come through it. In due course, he comes through it. The disciples came through this storm. And we come through it having learned a lesson and grown in our faith. So thirdly, faith grows as we continue to run with God's word. Whoa! Wasn't that a great try yesterday? Anyway, stick to the point. As we run with God's word, Habakkuk says this, or God said to Habakkuk, write down the vision. This is a prophecy. Write down the prophecy, the vision. Write down the words I'm saying, so those who read it may run with it. And what we do, we catch it, we hold on to it, and we run with it. Like our life depended upon. We see the goal. We see the try line. We see what God has called us to. We see the future. We see the preferred future. We see the better future. We see the things of God that has for us and others. As faith is outworked and the fulfillment of that faith comes upon, we see it, we focus, and we run with it with all of our hearts, with all of our passion. As Paul says, straining towards the goal, I press on towards the upward call in Christ. Not that I've obtained it, but I forget what is behind. I'm not being distracted, but I press on. And we grab hold of this thing. We focus and we press on. Peter, when he was in another storm and Jesus turned up to rescue the disciples, and he said, fear not, it's I. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, let me walk on the water. Let me come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat, walking towards Jesus on the word that he had caught from him. Come. Yes, Peter. Come. You've said come. So I'm going to walk on the water. And he walked on his word. And it says as he began to walk towards Jesus, it must have been an amazing experience. It says then when he saw the waves, he became frightened. And taking his eyes off Jesus and looking at the circumstance, fear, emotions, worry, anxiety came into his heart because of the threat of the waves, and he began to sink. We walk by faith and we sink through fear. Isn't that lovely? Lovely sound. I won't throw that. I usually throw mine. That's Sarah's. We walk by faith and we sink through fear. Faith grows as we resist fear. I'm going to have this story finish. When I had got cancer 6 years ago now, I went through radiotherapy, and the oncologist told me, 2 weeks after, 14 days after you've had treatment, your body is going to be at its most toxic. And then after that, the toxicity will reduce and you'll be going on the recovery. 14 nights to the day he said that, I'm sleeping and I have the most powerful divine dream where God speaks to me for me to catch something that I've ever had. And I've had some amazing dreams from the Lord. This was the dream. I was sent to a big farm to work. I'll explain this as I go along, the interpretation. I was sent to a big farm. I mean, it was as big as a country, as big as Wales. And it represented my call to serve him across a nation. And I was sent. And I had to go and speak to the owner of the farm. And I could see the buildings where the owner was. That represented Jesus, because there was more work to do and I need to have a conversation with him about what he wants me to do next. I'm walking through a field, and a horse that shouldn't have been there began to attack me. It was a wild horse, and it had anger and hatred in its eyes, and it was venting anger towards me, wanted to kill me. And that represented the attack of the enemy, the satanic attack, wanted to take my life to stop me serving God. And it began to run towards me, and I knew this. If I was frightened, turned my back on it, and ran, it would hit me in the back and kill me. I knew it in the dream. And if I give way to fear, it would hit me and it would kill me. And I knew that I had to stand my ground, stare it down without fear. And I understood this one thing. This was an animal, and I'm a human being, and I have more power than that thing in my spirit. And that is true. The Bible says this, every single one of you have faith in Christ. Greater is he in you than he's in the world. Resist the devil, submit to God, and he will flee. So this is my choice. It was a choice. And it was running towards me. So I stood staring it down without fear, refusing to give in to fear. And it came right up and hit me. Went right up to me, veered here, and then veered once, twice, didn't hit me. And I knew that I could stand here and this thing would not be able to do any more damage, wouldn't be able to get me, kill me. I knew it. But the problem was, it demanded a lot of energy to actually stand there staring it down when I needed to go to see the master. And the moment I realized that, having done my part, the heavens opened and a pillar of fire came from heaven, blazing and massive and huge. The same type of fire that delivered the Israelites from Moses, from the Israelites, when the whole Egyptian army were going to attack the Israelites and plunge them into the sea and kill them. Know the story? So this big fiery pillar came down from heaven, went over the horse and was really cross with it. I mean, it was so stern. It had a personality, this fight. It was so stern and cross with what the horse was doing and angry with it. It picked it up to the sky and threw it down twice. Bang, bang, like that. And then after that, the horse, all the fight, all the spirit, all the anger was taken out. It was like, eat all. All docile. And it had no fight to attack me again. First thing I thought is, oh my goodness, that's not good. I hope that doesn't happen to me. I mean, it was scary. Then as I began to think about this, the fire had gone, and then suddenly an apparition appeared before me in the shape of a fire. It's like gas or hot
like hot vapor on a sunny day when you look on the road, you know, and it began to form from the ground up into the shape of this fire. And as soon as it became fully formed, the fire came back. And this amazing fire that had a personality, it was God's almighty presence, stood between me and the horse. And I knew not only had the fight been taken out of it, not only had it been delivered from this attack, but now God stood between me and this horse. And that it wouldn't come back again. It had the power over me. And now I could turn from it and go and find the Lord for the next instruction of what you want me to do. If we want to prevail in faith, we have to resist fear. We have to learn to resist fear and submit our minds to what God says and allow his peace, because what he has said, to come into our hearts. So the disciples should have said, Jesus might be sleeping in the boat, but he's told us to come, we're going to the other side. This rain, this storm will not kill us. All we have to do is keep rowing and we'll get there in the end. And they would have. Fear is the opposite of faith. If I want to give to somebody or a good cause, knowing that God wants to bless that cause, do you know what will stop me obeying God and being generous and sharing God's love and out of what he's given? Do you know the only thing that will stop me? It's fear. That if I give to you, I won't have enough. Fear. Fear stops me obeying God. And if we want to grow in faith, we have to acknowledge our fears. So practically, no faith stealers. When our faith is being challenged, ask yourself, what are the thoughts and what are the feelings that are counter to what God has said? What God has said this, why am I feeling like this? Recognize them. Sometimes write them down on a card. I do this sometimes. What is God has said this, but I'm feeling and frightening over this. Then I choose to reject that, and I thank God for this. I hold on to it. I meditate upon it. I act upon it. I submit to it. I obey in the light of it, and I praise God because of it until what he has said begins to change the way I think and change the way I feel, which causes me to continue to act and do as I should. And I continue to do that until the promise and the purposes of God come to pass in my life. Submit our minds to what God has said. Stand in it, walk in it, act upon it, persevere in it. Learn through failure, just like the disciples did. And in time, you will come into what God has said to you, because faith is a lifetime journey, ever learning. And if we are ever learning, we never stop growing. Grow in faith. Make it a goal this year, for everything else depends upon your faith capacity. Amen?